today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, welcome back. Well, we have been contacted by a Kildare Town resident by the name of Katie Moore, who says 9 weeks ago she completed a postgraduate course in midwifery, having already been a qualified general nurse. However, Katie says that she and her classmates have had no communication from the National Midwifery Board of Ireland or Trinity College regarding final results, registration or graduation. She says she's willing and ready to work as midwives at the moment are in short supply, but essentially feels as though she's in limbo. And Katie joins us on the line now. Good morning to you, Katie.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, just put that into context for me then, before we talk about the issue at hand, a little bit about yourself. You're a qualified general nurse, and you went on then to do this postgraduate course. Is that right?
Yeah. So originally, Owen, I've always wanted to be a midwife, but I decided to do my general training first. 5 years ago now, I did my general training in Castlebar in Mayo. They were fantastic. And then decided last year this opportunity came up in Trinity College. So it's a postgraduate degree where you train for 18 months in a named Dublin hospital of your choice. And then along with Trinity, then you get full pay and you get your degree. I can't fault the course. I absolutely loved it. It was everything that I'd hoped for. Absolutely love working and caring for women and babies. You know, as you know, Dublin itself, all the maternity hospitals up there are really busy. But I have to say, since finishing the course, I think I speak on behalf of my whole class when I say we feel completely let down by Trinity and completely failed by the system, if I'm being honest with you.
As you say, the maternity hospitals in Dublin are incredibly busy, and the pressure that the staff there are under, we've heard in the media over the last while, is just incredible. Nurses, doctors, midwives, all under serious pressure. But here we have a cohort of students and graduates who are willing to go in and work, but you say you've had a complete lack of engagement.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, from the hospital side, they can't do much. I can't really stress how stressful it is in that environment unless you're in there. It's overwhelming, I have to say. Even as a student, you're kind of thrown in to a brand new degree. It's extremely overwhelming. Now, there are some of my cohorts that have already begun jobs and taken up posts in midwifery hospitals in Dublin. But because they're not registered yet, they still have to be supervised as if they were students. So, I mean, that's not helping the fact that we're in a midwifery crisis. They're able to work, but for every little thing, every note, every medication, they must get it signed by a registered midwife. We finished the course 9 weeks ago, and until I contacted Trinity College myself, there was no contact. There was no communication as to when the documents were sent off. There was no communication as to how we would register, how long it would take. And not to mention, we actually had to pay another €80 when we went on to register to add our degree to our original PIN. I actually don't have the words. I find it absolutely disgraceful, the communication between the college and ourselves and the NMBI. It's every time you call them, you get a different person saying something different. I come off the phone upset, clueless, and no further along than I have been the past few weeks.
What are you looking for, essentially, then, Katie, if you were to outline it for some of us, obviously, who are not working in that sector and don't know the process? You have completed the course 9 weeks ago. You're looking for results and documents for registration, is it?
Yeah, like, we completed our course. We completed our exams 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we took our final exams. We don't understand why it's taken them this long to get the paperwork to the board, to get the results looked at, to get it finalised, and then to be sent out an invite to register. I was told that it takes 10 working days for them to look at your submission, and then we must submit the documents ourselves. This is absolutely crazy because we don't have the documents. Trinity College has the documents. This has and always has been the process. So for the NMBI to contact me and say, well, you can't register, you need this, you need that. It's infuriating. This process has not changed in I don't know how many years. And it's like they're blaming us. I mean, I'm the student. I shouldn't be the one doing all the chasing and the communication and trying to figure out what's going on.
That was one of the points I was going to put to you, actually, and I know you're not on your own, that your whole class are in the same boat here, but from a student's point of view, have you done everything that you needed to do as far as you're aware in this process?
I think I've actually done more. I've been the class rep for the last 18 months, and it's not just because I was the rep, it's just because I'm absolutely sick of us being treated like crap. I mean, I see women and babies, they're not getting the care they deserve. And yet there's so many of us sitting here willing, ready to work. Midwifery has been my dream since I was a little girl. And I think because of this, it's taken the complete lack of joy out of finishing this degree. I mean, it's probably one of the hardest degrees if you spoke to anyone. It's nearly 4 years of work, you know, in 18 months. It's a very, very intense degree. And I have to say, I'm so proud of me. I'm so proud of my classmates. But then you've got this. And it's just taken all the joy out of it. Because all I want to do is be out there working, doing what I've been trained to do. And I can't because there's such a hold up.
We got in touch with the National Midwifery Board of Ireland and the department at the college, at Trinity College, asking them for a statement or even just to outline what the process is and how this is going to move along. I know Caoimhe and Ciara are going to check just to see if we have any response, and if we do, we'll bring it to you shortly. But as you said, and you referenced this a bit earlier on, Katie, you called it a midwifery crisis. What's it like inside the walls of those hospitals from, as you are, a nurse and now a graduate of the midwifery course? What's it like in there?
I can't even begin to explain. Like, I mean, any woman that has had a baby recently, you know, they are a fantastic set of colleagues that I worked with where I trained, and are amazing at the support they give. The care we give to the women is phenomenal, and that's seen by, you know, the thanks they give when they're leaving. But unfortunately, it's not safe. Like, the quota for midwives to patients, you could have anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 to 12 women. And that's not including the babies. So if you have 12 women a day and 12 babies, that's 24 patients to one midwife. And you don't have time for lunches. You don't have time for breaks. That's not to mention if emergencies happen on the ward. You know, I've not even begun my career yet. And I know there's multiple midwives out there who are only a year or so qualified. And you can see it in them. They're burnt out. The career they wanted to do their whole lives, I'm sad for the women because I can't give them the care or the time that they deserve. It's just a lack of staff. It really is. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I know a few of the Dublin hospitals at the moment are doing recruitments from different areas across the world. I think it's sad that we have to go out of Ireland to get to this point. I think it's sad for our future students that want to become midwives. It's staff. We need staff on the wards. We need more midwives. And that would sort everything out.
You say we need more midwives, but here we have a class that have graduated and have not yet had any communication really from the NMBI, which is the board, or the college, to further or to register properly so that you can work in a hospital? Because at the moment, I think limbo is the right word to use, is it?
100%, absolutely. Anywhere you go, I'm not getting the answers to progress. And I think what needs to change here is the graduates at the end of the course need to be told they need to register sooner rather than later. This process needs to be looked at. We don't get our transcripts until we graduate. We have had no date for our graduation. I'm told it's probably going to be sometime after Christmas, which really isn't good enough. So if I don't get my transcript till after Christmas, how are the NMBI expecting me to provide them with my transcript to register? You know, the system needs to change. Something needs to change in that the minute our exam results are ratified by the board, we need to be getting that paperwork. Because I suppose I've taken matters into my own hands because I don't trust the system anymore.
We were speaking yesterday, and I know a date that you had mentioned to me was the 16th of November, that something might happen by then, but you're not overly confident.
No, I mean, I registered my midwifery degree only when I was told on the 1st of November. When I contacted the NMBI, a lovely guy told me that it would be 10 working days, which brings us up to the 15th or 16th of November. But because I have not submitted my results or my documents, because I don't have them, I can foresee what's going to happen. And I'm going to get an email saying, you do not have the relevant documents submitted. Please submit A, B and C. But I don't have A, B and C to submit. So I'm leaning on the 16th and I'm going, you know, it's hopeless, because I'm going to get an email saying it's going to be prolonged again until we have this documentation. So in the meantime, I have contacted Trinity myself and I've asked them, is there any way that they could individually send us out these transcripts that we need to register? Because they don't seem to be doing it on their side. So if they sent it to us, at least we will know it has gotten to the NMBI.
It would leave you scratching your head, I have to say, Katie, particularly given what you've explained to us there and the crisis that is facing midwives, why we're not trying to register as many midwives as quickly as we possibly can, whether they're graduates from the four-year course or the postgraduate course. So we'll try and get some answers for you. Are you still living down in Kildare Town and commuting up to Dublin?
Yeah, I'm down in Kildare. I commute to Dublin. I was commuting, but I will be in the foreseeable when I do get my pin. Yeah, that's where I will be going every day.
Okay, we'll try and get answers for you. As we said, we've been in touch with the NMBI and Trinity College, and we're going to see if we have any response to that and try and get this moved on, because it's not just you, but it's other classmates and a cohort here of potential midwives that could be going in and alleviating the pressure on those that are already in the system. Katie, thanks indeed for speaking out and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks a million for having me on. Thank you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Heading over now to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District. Fine Gael's councillor Tim Durkin is on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, how are you, Kira?
I am very well, thank you. Hope you are too, Tim. If I ask you first about the briefing on the Part 8 for the Selbridge Road in Maynooth, what's the update there from the council?
Yeah, so essentially this has been something I've been pursuing for quite some time. We will be going to public consultation, Part 8 public consultation on the Selbridge Road in the first quarter of next year. It's a little bit different to your standard kind of planning applications, because essentially the council own the land and the road associated with it, or most of it. They have to seek permission from the members in terms of planning. So we'll go out to public consultation for 6 weeks. Everyone will be able to have their say in terms of the proposed design that will be put forward. And then it will come back into the members of the Clane Municipal District, and it will be either approved or declined at that stage. And I will be a proponent of accepting the proposal once it's adequately specced, to provide safe access for currently 750 students in the Grail School and Educate Together combined. But that number is increasing quickly, particularly with the level of building in Maynooth. And it's a good news story.
One of the only housing motions that were brought up at your meeting for Clane Maynooth was you asking for an update on the number of pending housing grants that was within the municipal district.
Yeah, so a lot of the time we get told about the number of granted applications for residential purposes, but I don't think that's a good metric to measure anything by. Because just because something is granted doesn't necessarily mean it gets built. So what I asked for was a breakdown of commencement notices in terms of unit numbers and the areas to where they are. Now, it was a county response in terms of they found it very difficult to break it down into respective municipal districts. But it gives fairly good information in terms of where we are with building houses, particularly in current climate of being in a housing crisis, it, it shows healthy figures of what's been proposed. And what's really important to note is, with a commencement notice, if you have a permission for a housing estate, and let's say it has 100 houses in it, you can get a partial commencement notice. So the first, as in when a development is phased. So if you get a commencement notice that says 20 of 100, there's more than likely going to be, once that development is started and the first houses have sold, there will be subsequent commencement notices associated with that site. It doesn't include rural development, but that information will come to me later this week.
Tim, if we move to Kilcock now, you asked for a comprehensive update that's on the provision of a business park. Where would that be possibly?
Yes, so there is now, we are basically out of public tender at the moment for a feasibility study for a business enterprise centre in Kilcock. The council own 31 acres called the Cow Pastures. This is something I've been pushing for quite some time as well, and it's gathering momentum. There's a huge amount of businesses in Kilcock which have lost their premises or unfortunately about to lose their premises and have nowhere to go, and they're migrating to other towns around the area. And Kilcock has a very good history of as an industrious town. Kelly's Garage in Kilcock was at one stage the largest Ford dealership in Europe. There was other businesses like Kelly's Bakery, which have since are no longer trading. But we need to get businesses back into Kilcock, particularly. If you look at the town of Kilcock, there is certain commercial activities I think which would be best suited outside the town, leaving the core of the town for more residential purposes. So that feasibility study is out for tender at the moment. So once the tenders are back in, that will be assessed by the Leo office and the council, and we will move forward from there.
And if we look at Kilcock in terms of vacant properties, Tim, quite a lot there.
Absolutely, and it's one thing I've been pushing. There's a number of properties with actually granted planning permissions for residential purposes, and I've been pushing to try and get development started on them, and hopefully one of those sites will go forward as an affordable model, which government are promoting at the moment.
Right, Tim, thank you so much for joining me this morning. That is Fine Gael councillor for Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Tim Durkin.
Yeah, we're going to stay with local issues and go to the Naas Municipal District now, because Fianna Fáil councillor Carmel Kelly does join us. Good morning to you, Carmel, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good, good. First of all, Carmel, you were looking for the council to reinstate or upgrade the fencing at the Liffey end of Castlesize Estate in Salins. This is obviously to do with the horses.
Oh, Shane. Are all in the bane of my life at the moment. And unfortunately, the people of Castlesize and Salins Celtic Soccer Club have been suffering the most, and my heart is broken for them. This issue has been going on. I look back on my notes. I first made a rep on this in 2018, in July 2018. That's how long it's been going on. We have approximately 13 to 14 horses that are grazing inland, close to the bypass where the new link road is now, between there and Castlesize. And on occasion, they've been getting out. It looks like, you know, they run out of grass where they are, and they go to Salon Celtic Soccer Pitch, and they go to the green spaces in Castlesize, and then they can head on to the main street in Salons. But in the last couple of weeks, I think it's been happening maybe twice a week. And I just, I went down and had a look for myself. The residents have put in some temporary fencing, but I actually have a video. I watched the horses with their hooves breaking down the temporary fencing. So I was just asking Kildare County Council to please put up proper fencing. It is their land. And I was really upset with the reply, the report that I got. But I got a subsequent report before I left the meeting to say that the council will reinstate or put up proper fencing.
Because this is a road safety issue at the end of the day, Carmel. Like, do we have to wait until somebody hits one of these horses when they're out on the main road, or that somebody is seriously injured from the horse?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. It's health and safety. It's life. It's their not only affecting humans, the horses as well. Like, I mean, they're going to get injured as well.
Mm.
But nobody seems to be taking responsibility. I'm also glad to say that I met with the superintendent and the Gardaí yesterday also. And short-term, Kildare County Council, the director has said that, yes, absolutely fencing will be put in place as quickly as possible. And a long-term solution, the Gardaí superintendent, and can I say thank you very much to him, and the environment section, they're going to sit down with me next week to come up with a long-term solution. Because these horses have been there for several years. They've been getting out, you know, as I said, obviously when the land they're on gets flooded or they run out of something to eat. So I'm sitting down with them hopefully next week to come up with a long-term solution.
And as we say, we're not talking about one or two horses here. We're talking about 14 horses at one stage that got out of that field and were basically roaming free around the main street in Salins going into the housing estates, etc.
Absolutely. And it is health and safety, and as I said, for both the population of Salins, but also for the horses themselves.
All right. What about the Riverview apartments in, where are they, in Naas, is it?
The Riverview in Naas, yeah. And they were concerned that their footpaths weren't being cleaned, and I got reassurance yesterday that that they are still on the schedule. So I was happy to accept that report.
Right, you're also looking for a timeline in terms of what's happening with the community lands in Salins. What response did you get there?
Oh, again, I wasn't really happy. It wasn't one of my better days there yesterday, and I had to keep apologising to the mayor and to my colleagues because I felt like throwing my toys out of the pram a couple of times. Wasn't best pleased with the report. The tender for the designs of the amenity land will be prepared in Q23.
Right.
So that's the first quarter of next year. But 2016, this land was purchased for Salins. And I'm trying to get through to them that Salins is not a small village anymore. We are a population of 6,500. We are the population of a small town. And we do not have the facilities commensurate with a small town. We have a small GA pitch with hundreds playing on it. We have Salins Celtic, as I said to them so many times yesterday, had to be closed on the bank holiday weekend because of the set horses, and all the matches had to be postponed. We don't have the facilities in Salins, and I am really frustrated with the delay after delay on the Salins amenity land. We have a plan, we have a design. It is going to be, the detailed design is in 2023, but then it said to bring it, the design beyond this until further funding can be identified. No funding has been identified. There's
right.
No point having a plan, and it's a great plan. It is a really good plan. It encompasses everything that we wanted for Salins, and I have to stop calling it the village, I nearly did again. But funding is going to be the key. And I really want them to tell me that they have started to identify funding. Like, quarter one of 2023 is only about 12 weeks away.
Okay.
So when the design comes, when we have that design, I want them, on the other hand, to say, we've identified funding. I don't want them to wait until we have a design. I want them. And as I said yesterday, please tell me you started looking for funding, because if you haven't, I'll do it.
All right. Fianna Fáil councillor Carmel Kelly on the Naas Municipal District. We'll leave it there. Thanks for that. And any update that you get on any of those issues, particularly to do with the horses on the main street in Salins, do come back to us and we can relay it on to our listeners. I see somebody has been in touch to say they're quite concerned in Suncroft because there's cars parked on the right-hand side at the T-junction. There's no visibility. It's an accident waiting to happen. Can KFM please highlight this? So if you're in the Suncroft area, be mindful of those cars that are parked at the T-junction, and if you own those cars, maybe have a look and see if you could move them and park them somewhere else, because this listener feels as though it's an accident waiting to happen. Rose Devine in Prosperous is on the line now. Good morning to you, Rose.
Hi, good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you, Rose, and thanks for getting in touch and thanks for taking our call as well. You text in to us earlier in the programme. I referenced this in the newspaper review. You wanted to pay tribute to Eamon Sheila Darcy, who passed away over the last few days, originally from Dublin, but a Naas resident for the last number of years, and he was greatly involved in local soccer here.
He was a great help to me when I started out the local club here, he always turned up uninvited but took over training sessions and passed us on very valuable help and support. He was a great man for turning up at matches, and I remember our very first presentation night. I was planning to ask Eamon to do the presentation of medals for me, not realising I was in the presence of a great man himself. It was only later in life that I learned out who Eamon Darcy was. But he went off and he organised a special guest for me, and he came back and he said, "Now, I have a man here," he says, "who has no connection with soccer at all. How do you feel about having Michael Carruth
really as
our guest?" And I said, "Oh my God," I said, "he was at the ring, the Barcelona title at the time."
In 1990, around then, wasn't it?
I think it was around then, yeah. Yeah, it would have been around 1990.
Yeah.
But I said, "That's great." I said, "He'd bring you along his gold medal," and Michael came along and showed his medal round to everybody in the hall. And sadly, I never got to see the medal. There was so much going on. I never got to see the medal myself. But however, Eamon was behind that. And he was behind so many other VIP guests I had down through the years in Broadsburg. And I'll never, ever forget him. He always giving me advice and keeping on the right track and putting the children first. And he had so much to give, and he gave it to us when we were in Broadsburg.
He was a legend of the game, and as I mentioned, he won two League of Ireland titles with Shamrock Rovers in the late 50s. He made four appearances for the club in the European Cup. That was against Man United in 1957 and Nice in 1959. He won two caps with the Republic of Ireland B team. He managed the Ireland women's team from 1984 to 1986, and he was living in Nice for many years, but it was great that he integrated himself into the local soccer scene here in the county. And as you say, Rose, he had a great influence on you. He was instrumental as well, as I mentioned, in nominating KFM for the 2011 Programme Interview of the Year Award, and KFM
That's
went
right.
on to win that.
Yeah.
And he was a great friend.
Yeah, that involved one of our players called Keane Ritchie. It was a match going on in Prosperous, and Eamon was there with the camera as usual. And young Keane kicked the ball out over the line, and there was a bit of a hoo-ha with the opposition saying it was wide. So the referee went over. The Lord of Mercy on that particular ref is no longer with us either. And he said to Keane, "Was that ball over the line?" And he said to the ref, "Yes, it was." And the ref was so taken by his honesty that Eamon was there to take it all on board. And he contacted me and he said, "I think we should put for a media award with the FAI." And we did. And he won it, which was great. He was instrumental in that there. He was there with his camera on the day. I have all the memories of it.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. 89 years of age, he passed away. But one that's, he's going to live long in the memory of people in local soccer circles, Rose.
Definitely. I'll never ever forget him. Because he was so good to me. And his passing words to me all the time, every time he saw me, was, "Keep the faith, Rose, keep the faith." That was always his favourite saying. And I'll treasure everything. There's so much he has done that I have so many memories of him, you know, and he's such a gentleman and such a man with integrity that he did so much for ladies and boys soccer here in Crossbus when we were around, you know.
He worked in the ESB as well for a while, didn't he?
I believe that's it, yeah. He did indeed, yeah. I only found out so much about him later on in life. This man used to turn up and I had no idea who he was until the young goalie, his grandson, said to me one day, "That's my granddad, and he used to play goals for Ireland."
Really?
And I said, "Oh gosh," I said, "we're among greats." And it's only when I started probing through his life that I realised he was a very famous man in my book.
Well, listen, Rose, many thanks for ringing us in this morning to pay that tribute to Eamon Sheila Darcy, who has died at the age of 89. Nace resident, a former Ireland B soccer international goalkeeper and very involved in local soccer here in Kildare. I know he's going to be on our obituaries in the next few minutes if you want to listen out for the funeral arrangements as well. And may he rest in peace. Thanks, Rose.